Good, so once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Once again, welcome back, everybody, and offer you just a tiny little thought here. A little something to think about as you make your way through the week. Every religion in the world gives you principles to live by. Every religion in the world gives you principles to live by, but Christianity gives you something more. It's a story. And you're in it. It's a story of the eternal Word of God. A story that's already completed, and at the same time, a story that is still unfolding even as we speak. And the object of faith and of your life is not to lose confidence in the author. Now, keep that in mind as you take a look at some of what we just heard here in the readings. If you want to understand the Bible, the best place to begin is by understanding what it meant to the first people who ever heard it. Want to understand the Bible? The very best place to begin is by understanding what it meant to the first people who ever heard it. So Jesus asks St. Peter, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter replies, "You are the Christ." Now, question, what did Peter mean when he said that? When we say the word Christ, we all think the same thing. Everybody thinks of Jesus, right? And nobody else. That wasn't the case, though, at the time of Jesus. That's because the word Christ is simply an English version of the Greek word Christos, which means the anointed one. You heard the word Messiah. That's just a version of the Hebrew word Mashiach. It means the exact same thing. Christ, Messiah, they mean the same thing. It means the anointed one. Now, if you're living in the time of Jesus, and you hear the word Christ or Messiah or anointed one, you know who you think about above all else? King David. King David was the character from the Old Testament who, above all others, was known as the anointed, as the Christ. Why? Because King David was a warrior king who defeated all of God's enemies, brought the people together, and made the people of Israel a light to all the nations. He was the highlight of all their history. But when King David died, Israel began to decline. They were overrun. They were invaded. They were defeated. They were humiliated. And the people began to hope that there would be another Messiah, another greater Christ who would come along. Prophet after prophet promised that there would be. Psalm after psalm proclaimed it. Another Christ was coming, a greater Messiah who would once again defeat all God's enemies, bring all the people together, and make the people of God a light to all the nations. And when Peter says to Jesus, "You're the Christ," that's what he meant. But in the Old Testament, there was another tradition about the Christ. It's a series of cryptic readings about a man who would suffer terribly and be killed for his people. You heard about it in the first reading, especially the prophet Isaiah. He said there would come along in the person of the Christ one who would give his back over to those who beat him, his face to those who would pluck his beard. He would not shield himself from buffets or spitting. He would be crushed for our offenses, bruised for our sins. On his back would bear the guilt of us all. By his stripes we would be healed. At the time of Jesus, they knew those writings existed, but few to anyone understood what they meant. And there were very few people that commented on them. But when Jesus says back to Peter, "And the Christ must suffer and be put to death," that's what he was referring to. The Christ would indeed conquer all God's enemies, but he'd do it in the last way anyone ever saw coming. He would win by being defeated. He would conquer by the folly of the cross. And it's still like that for us, ladies and gentlemen. It's still that way today. My favorite way in which this was ever phrased comes from J.R.R. Tolkien. You know, J.R.R. Tolkien, author of The Lord of the Rings, a devout Catholic. He once said, "The story of my faith is a story of a long, slow, continuous defeat ending in final victory." So the Messiah would be the glorious conqueror king who would, as you heard in your gospel, tell all of his followers to take up their crosses and follow him too. You want to know something interesting about the life of Christ? Go through the Bible and tell me if this isn't true. The closer Jesus gets to the cross, the fewer friends he has. They're all there in droves when he's working miracles, aren't they, right? When he's out there preaching, they couldn't love him more. He's a rock star. But the closer Jesus gets to the cross, the fewer people are willing to follow him. And he says, "You want to be my real follower? Take up your cross and follow me." And the question that we got to ask every one of us, got to ask ourselves this day is, are you on board or what? I told you this is a story. You just heard the plot, the dramatic tension. Jesus' real followers will take up their cross. And of course, that's what we want to be, aren't we, right? So what I want to do here this morning, I want to help you take up your cross. First, let's define what a cross is. What's a cross? A cross is a burden that you carry in love for the well-being of somebody else. In love. You can't complain about it. You can't bellyache about it. You carry it in love for the well-being of somebody else. Now, there's two kinds of crosses in this life. Two kinds of crosses. There's crosses you understand, and there's crosses you do not understand. Let's take a look at each one of them. First, there's crosses that you understand, and they're so beautiful. When you know that you're carrying a burden in love for the well-being of somebody else, even though it's a burden, you wouldn't trade it for the world. And if somebody told you that cross is making you a saint, you can see it clear as day. For example, parent has a sick child, stays up all night at their side of their sick child. Maybe they're in the hospital, right? It's a burden. It's a cross. They wouldn't trade it for the world. I know the story of a man who was walking through D.C. in the dead winter of January. Came across a homeless man shivering in the cold. Took his own coat off his shoulders and gave it to the poor homeless man. Because he could go back home at the end of the day and get another coat out of the closet. Poor man on the street wouldn't survive the night. Suffering? Burden? Sure. Wouldn't trade it for the world, though. Did I ever tell you the story of the perfect couple where the husband got Lou Gehrig's disease? I don't think I've told you this before. Picture perfect couple. They belonged on a magazine cover. Everyone thought they were going to live happily ever after until the husband got sick. Something like Lou Gehrig's disease. It destroyed his nervous system slowly, slowly, until the last thing it destroyed was his vital organs. And his wife would not let anybody else care for him. She wanted to do that herself. And she commuted from her office several times a day because she wanted to be the one to clean him, to wash him, to nurse him, to feed for him. She wanted to care for him personally. Back and forth, every day, week in, week out, month in, month out. Friend came over for dinner once, took one look at this poor lady and said to her, "You've aged 10 years in only one. You can't keep this up. It's wearing you out. This is unsustainable. Don't you understand?" And the woman replied, "Yes, I understand. But you do not understand." Pointing to her dying husband, she said, "I love him. I love him." Cross? Sure. Beautiful? Of course. Wouldn't trade it for the world. And you can see how that purifies you, how that makes you into a saint. But those are the crosses that we understand. How about the crosses we don't understand? Those come too, you know. Like illness, or when you're the victim of somebody else's injustice, or a sudden or especially a tragic death. Those things that make you look up to heaven and say, "Why, God, why?" Crosses we don't understand. Question for you here this morning. Of the two, which do you think makes you a saint quicker and better? Yeah, the ones we don't understand. Why? Because they require more faith. That's why. So I want to try to help you carry crosses you don't understand. Let me give you three ways to do that, okay? These are not three exhaustive ways. There may be many other ways, but these are my favorite three. Here's the first. When you're carrying a cross you don't understand, never take your eyes off of the Lord. Keep your eyes on Him and not on your suffering. Little image that I can give you that might help you understand this. Have you ever seen a professional restorer at work? A restorer. You know, these guys, they can take a car out of a junkyard, and they can restore it so it looks showroom new. You know how they do it? The very first thing they do is they disassemble the entire vehicle. Every last part, every last nut, every last bolt, every last washer, everything. Disassemble the entire thing. And then every single piece, no matter how small it is cleaned, polished, sandblasted, repaired, replated, or replaced. Then the entire thing is put back together again from the ground up. Now, if that car had a voice, it would cry out in pain, wouldn't it? And say, "What are you doing, tearing me apart?" But the restorer knows nothing's lost. Nothing is lost. And that's the way it is with our Heavenly Father, too. Keep your eyes on Him. He knows what He is about. That's the first way to carry a cross, you understand. Here's the second. Don't be afraid to ask for help. You're not supposed to carry a cross alone. You've been given people by God in this life who are meant to help you. Sent from God, and there's nothing wrong with turning to Him for help. Do you know where I get this idea from? The Garden of Gethsemane. When Jesus was suffering and dying, what did He do? Even Jesus reached out for human help. "Peter, James, John, please, in my darkest hour, come and be with me." Of course, they were all fast asleep, weren't they? That's the subject of another homily. You want to really be like Christ? Don't be surprised when your friends let you down. That's the subject of another homily, though. But even Jesus asked for human help. Don't think you're better than Jesus. Don't think you're better than Jesus. I had a friend once, he phrased it to me like this. He said, "You want to become a saint? First thing you need to learn how to do is purge from your vocabulary the F word." I said, "The F word? What's the F word?" And he says, "The F word, you know, fine. How are you doing today? Fine. How are you feeling today? Fine. How are you doing today? Fine." No, you're not. The first step to becoming a saint is admitting that you're not fine. As soon as you realize you're not fine, you get on your way to finally becoming holy. Don't be afraid to ask people for help. There's no shame in it. That's the second way. Here's the third. Remember what St. Paul said. God makes all things work together for the good of those who love Him. And do I mean all? Yes, I mean all. This comes from St. Francis de Sales. Let me share this with you. St. Francis de Sales said, "Don't look forward to the trials of this life with fear, but accept them with perfect confidence, knowing that as they happen, God will protect and deliver you. He's guarded you this far, and He will continue. When you cannot walk, He will carry you. Do not worry about tomorrow. Rather, do faithfully what He asks of you today. Do not be overcome by troublesome thoughts. Do not let your imagination wander." St. Francis de Sales, just a reminder, God knows what He's about. God won't let His friends get too comfortable in this life, have you noticed? He might give you a little breather, He might give you a little bit of a rest, but He never lets you get too comfortable in this life. That's because you're not made to be comfortable. It's like Pope Benedict said, "You were not made for comfort, you were made for greatness." Is it hard? Yes, it's hard. But remember this, God does not lose battles. The cross always wins. The cross always wins. I told you this was a story. Don't lose confidence in the author. That's why I'm so fond of saying that if today you hear His voice, harden not your hearts. Amen.